sitting in the bank.
We're going to press on now, though, to the next aspect, which is going to be delivery systems.
In a little over a year.
The delivery systems, which all are, as we define them,
in crash.
Methods here at Disney. Yours are probably very similar. These kind of transcend industries, and they're pretty similar across the board. The first one is going to be the cast, as we call them here at Disney, or in your case, the people. Then we have the setting, the physical environment, or it should be virtual, and that's the place, how you're doing, where you're doing business at, and then last but not least, the process, which of course are your procedures, how you do business. So three different delivery systems at play here to interact with folks and provide customer service. So let's first dive in to CAST, so the people aspect of it. What does it look like? We're going to go through several tactics that we have here at Disney and how we approach this. First off, though, thinking about the cast, at Disney, it's every employee who works at a Disney theme park or resort. So if somebody here came in the room from Walt Disney Imagineering, I wouldn't call them a cast member, I'd call them an Imagineer. Mm-hmm. If I went over to the Disney Cruise Line, they're crew members. So anyone in a Disney theme park or resort setting, they are cast. If you drove up the 5 freeway up to Burbank, California, to our Walt Disney Company headquarters, the Walt Disney Studios, went on a lot and started calling people cast members, they kind of look at you a little weird. Say, what's going on here? Because they're not cast members. They're not guest facing on a day-to-day basis. They are considered employees. But if they're at a theme park or resort location, as you've heard us mention all throughout the day, they are cast. Now, quite a few folks that you could interact with when you come and visit us here at the resort over the course of your time, a lot of touch points, right? A lot of chances for us to make or break your experience. You know, as we talked about earlier with that 3 o'clock parade question, all it takes is one person to give you a wrong answer or a bad answer, you know, or answer that 3 o'clock parade question rudely, and it can break your experience. You know, from the second you come in off the 5 freeway, if you're driving to the resort here in one of our parking lots, we are controlling your guest experience. So even those folks in the parking lots have to be courteous, have to take care of you, and ensure that you have a seamless process. Dick Nunes, former chairman of Walt Disney Attractions, said, all the great new attractions don't mean one iota if your people aren't friendly. And that is so true. As senior designer John Hinch said from Walt Disney Imagineering, all it takes is one thing to negate the experience. In this case, it'd be the people. You know, cast members, based on their actions and their behaviors, can be standing in front of Pirates of the Caribbean, beautifully themed, be in the costume, be in the role, and do an action or say something that can make the whole thing disappear. So, very, very fragile experience. So, every cast member throughout our organization is responsible for guest service. So you're thinking, okay, I get it, you know, folks that are out there on stage and on stage roles facing our guests, it makes sense. Those are our frontline folks, but it also applies to backstage. So the folks that are behind the scenes that are supporting other cast members, whether it's issuing costumes in our costuming department, or it's other support departments, chefs in the kitchens, for example, sous chefs doing prep for the line chefs. Regardless of where they're at, every cast member delivers service, whether it's to each other or to our guests. And we feel this is a key element. We teach this from day one, all of our training, that we're all responsible for it in all of our roles. So several tactics that we have for the cast. First, we establish a common purpose. All our cast members need to have an idea, a bearing, if you will, of where they're headed, why they come to work, why they do what they do every day. We provide the cast with clearly measurable behavioral guidelines. I'll give you some examples of that, and we'll dive further into that aspect. We also think globally and act locally. So how does my job play into the bigger picture? And then we treat the cast as guests. Pretty straightforward stuff. Again, talked about this morning, common sense. But let's get a little bit further into the weeds. First, a common purpose. Well, common purpose overall has to be defined. So for the cast members, they have to know what it is. If you don't define something for them, don't define why they're all here doing what they do, what will they do on their own? They'll define it for themselves, right? You know, we're all survivalists. We'll make it up as we go. We'll figure it out. You know, we'll find our own solution, our own ends to a mean. So it has to define, why are we all here? What are we all doing? That purpose has to be aligned with the customer expectations. So lofty goals and great ideals over here on one side, and what the customer really wants, again, guestology, that's over here on the other side, we have a problem. They have to be in line with each other. And then we have to have communication that aligns the employees. So regardless of the employee background, we have a very diverse workforce here, 18 to folks in their 90s. How do we communicate to them? How do we effectively align all of them? Our biggest key is communication. You know, here's mentioned some tips and tricks to do that. So what do guests expect from Disney? What do you guys expect from Disney?
Excellence.
Who said excellence? Okay.
Memories.
Excellence, magic, memories. What else?
Lots of fun.
Vacation. Okay, lots of fun. Was that back over here? Okay, an experience, right? Anything else to build upon that?
Safe experience.
Yeah, I heard someone say it. Safe guest is a happy guest. Injured guest is an unhappy guest. Dead guest, well, not a guest. So, safety is definitely important. Okay, I'll give you that much. But what do guests expect from Disney? I mean, you all hit the nail on the head.
The money's worth.
Money's worth. Magic. Okay, very good. Okay, well, so let me show you from this perspective. A couple guests here. What do we create? What's the want that we satisfy out there for people?
Fun.
Okay, the wow factor, the fun, okay.
Family time.
Family time. Think of an emotion.
Escapism.
Happiness. I'm hearing a lot of happiness, right? I love it. You looked ahead. Perfect. No, I'm just kidding. Yes, we create happiness. Yes, we create happiness. Great word to sum up the emotional feeling of everything that you're saying, the magic, the wow. Can we create happiness by providing the finest in? What's the need that we're satisfying?
Service.
Okay.
Entertainment.
Entertainment, very good. Again, think Walt Disney Company, big picture, but absolutely by providing the finest entertainment for whom? Who's our audience?
Family.
Yes. Families, people, guests, absolutely. From all over the world, all over the country, everywhere. They come from all over the place. So, you know, these folks here are all our guests. You know, guests of all ages coming to us from all backgrounds. So we create happiness by providing the finest entertainment for people of all ages everywhere. Think about that for a second. Does that sound like a common purpose to you? Definitely does to me. We teach this to all of our cast members from the very beginning, from the get-go. This is our common purpose. This is what gets us to hit the alarm clock in the morning and not get snoozed, but instead turn it off, get up out of bed, throw your feet out of the bed, go take a shower, clean up, come to work, and be here, and perform your role in the show. Because we are creating happiness. What a cool charge that we have to do. Now, we teach everybody this, but we don't go out and we don't make cast members recite it verbatim. We don't post it up everywhere backstage and make them constantly rattle it off. Yeah, I don't go out to, you know, Isaiah, if I see him in the park and say, Isaiah, you know, you've been here 6 months, great, you know, what's your common purpose? And if he starts to say, well, you know, I create, stop there. It's like, nice try, I'll come back in 6 months again, we'll try it again. You know, it's not what it's about. It's not about reciting a pledge. It's about actions and behavior. If I watch Isaiah out there, if I watch you out there, you're performing your role in the show, you are creating happiness for our guests by providing the finest entertainment for people of all ages everywhere, then you got it. You know, there's people out there that get it. People get it. They got it. That's kind of the concept here. So we're going to watch. We watch the behaviors of our cast members. We're always observing. We expect our managers to be on stage about 70% of the time observing and being out there with the guests and the cast members and watching the interactions to make sure that we're hitting it on the mark. I want to tell you about two cast members that we observed actually on stage. We went out to Disneyland Park early one morning to catch a couple of our custodial cast members. You see Todd and Spencer here wearing the classic white costume. These are the folks who are out there with pen and broom, faithfully cleaning up the parks and going around throughout the day in all the different areas. And they were working the morning shift when we went out one day, and so we wanted to capture pictures of them out in the park. Now, great cast members, they've been here quite a while, and before the park opened, we got a great shot here, I love this, of Spencer here polishing the partner statue in front of the castle. Really cool, right? What a huge honor to be able to do that work. You know, he really gets it. He realized that guests are going to be coming. This is going to be in so many guest photos. Think about that. How many guest photos just today alone are going to have that image in it? A little bit later, once the park opened, Spencer was off on his way, and we saw Todd, and the family approached Todd right at the end of Main Street, and they said, where's Tomorrowland? And Todd looked at them, and they were kind of all dressed up, kind of like this season for Halloween, but costumes, Disney characters, and he picked up his pen and broom, and he had an impromptu parade over Tomorrowland. Okay, so... photos for a minute here. Okay, this is something that we call task versus purpose. Task versus purpose. Again, phenomenal cast members, they both understand it. We've seen them exhibit the common purpose. They understand that they are here to create happiness. And they're also, they have tasks to perform. But they understand at times, there's that overarching big picture where we have to sometimes throw our broom up in our hand and have an impromptu parade across Main Street. Do you see the environment around Todd there? It looks very clean. Now, I'll tell you right now, if I go out there in my observations and Todd's doing impromptu parades for 8 hours a day, I'm probably going to chat with Todd. But he doesn't. You know, his area's clean. He's doing it right. He gets it. Now, going back to Spencer, park's not open yet. He's doing what he's supposed to do. He gets the task. Now's his chance to do it, to make this right for the guest experience. And so we teach all of our customers task versus purpose. Does that kind of make sense?
Yes.
That makes sense. Equally as important, but a great way to exhibit if we really understand the overarching common purpose that we have. So my question for you is, what is your common purpose? What is your common purpose? A, do you have one? B, how do you communicate it? And is it the same for all? Same for all. Page 21, if you want to jot any notes down on that thought for a moment. Pause for a second here. I love a little side piece here in the book, too. Common purpose is an inspirational and motivational tool. Companies use it to set their short-term and long-term service goals. So a great reminder as you're trying to maybe craft your common purpose, if you don't want to have one today, or you want to establish a stronger one, a great reference point there. Again, it defines, it aligns, and it communicates to all the accounts. I think ours does that very well. Okay, let's move on to page 22, which is our next tactic, which is providing the cast with clearly defined and measurable behavioral guidelines. On your tables, we passed out cards to you, little blue cards. You can grab one of those if you'd like. On one side, on the white side, you'll actually see a very familiar list of quality standards, what we talked about before lunchtime. And the quality standards listed there are actually exhibited in the shape of keys, because we call them our four keys here at Disney. Now, a little side note, if you were to go out today and go in the parks and quietly approach a cast member and say, hey, what are your four keys? That they would know, and that they would rattle off to you. Common purpose, not so much, but what those four elements are, yes, they will. We turn over to the blue side, and this is just an example. One tool that we have out there that exhibits this idea for guidelines for guest service. So we take the word service, the acronym service, and we've broken it down and defined it. So S is for smile. And so when we teach customers, we actually go further than just to give them a list or an acronym. We actually break down the behaviors behind it. So I won't go too far into detail, but stuff like, okay, smile. Okay, so I want, at your tables, I want you to smile at each other, but don't do anything else, just smile. Look at each other. Now smile off in the distance, don't look at anybody, just smile randomly. Yeah, you gotta have eye contact with smiling, right? Which is the next one. Because if not, it's a little creepy. Someone just staring versus someone just smiling. So E is for eye contact. Smile, eye contact. R, respect and welcome. We have a lot of guests that come through our gates. Respect each of them and all their diversities and try to anticipate their needs. V is for what? Value the magic. How many Mickeys are there?
One.
There's only one Mickey Mouse. That's absolutely correct. We value the magic. I, initiate guest contact. If I see you standing there and you've got your book in front of you and you're doing something like this, I'm going to approach you and say, can I help you? If your guide map's upside down, can I assist you with something? You dropped your popcorn. Let me help you with that. Initiate guest contact. C, create service solutions. So in doing so, try to solve for the situation and help the guest. And E, last but not least, end with a thank you. The power of a thank you is pretty huge. It's pretty big. So this is one model, one tool, one example, what we give our cast to remind them of for guidelines for guest service. The great thing about this, though, is it provides measurable guidelines, measurable behaviors that we can now gauge and watch the cast and performance and give them feedback and opportunities to improve. So we're always trying to give them tools and resources, but make them so that you can, again, you can benchmark off of it and then give them feedback. The next tactic we have, number three, was that think globally, act locally. So say I work here at the Grand California Hotel, and I work here in banquets, for example. My job is to clean that glassware that you see in front of you. Well, I realize that I work for the Walt Disney Company, bigger picture here, more specifically parks and resorts. I'm a Disneyland resort, and I work in the lodging line of business, so with the hotels in the Grand California specifically. And I see that every day I come in and I wash glasses, but I can see the bigger picture that my job day in, day out is helping to support the bigger picture, and the bigger organization to create that happiness, those memories for our guests, and it kind of flows up. So I know my role in the show is bigger than I might think some days. So getting a good understanding and training for that helps folks really realize that they're not coming in just to perform a task. You know, at some point, you know, even working for Disney, I hate to break it to you, it may become a J-O-B.
What?
I know, really? A shocker for you. But it very well might at some point. So what's that reminder? Well, this helps support, too, this idea of thinking globally and acting locally. So yes, I sell churros in the park, but I'm really helping guests have those memories, those associations, those experiences for their vacations. So it's a bigger picture.
How do you keep going in front of people's faces that have been here a long time and it's just a routine?
The biggest thing for us, and I'll keep it short brief because we're kind of going to go on a tangent, is simply to say that for our cast members, we call it their applause. So for our cast, always remind themselves of why they do what they do. A lot of times it's personal stories and interactions. A lot of times, and we'll show you a little bit later, it's getting the cast out into the work areas to see what their impact is on the operation.
Can you push the line?
Absolutely, absolutely, by all means. You know, carousel horses, we have folks that paint our carousel horses, and that services team, that shops team who works backstage in a paint shop, well, oftentimes the manager will take them and bring them to the park and sit them down in Fantasyland by the carousel, buy them a box of popcorn, and let them sit and watch the carousel go around a few times. Then you're reminded really quickly why you put so much care into painting those horses. You see the smiles on the young guests across the way. So it's sometimes a little help from the leaders, from coworkers, even ourselves with our experiences and memories.
How often do you do this kind of training, like a reminder kind of training? So they come in as cast members and they go through this customer service type training once and then they don't...
It's always going on. It's not a specific course or class. We're always living this every single day. So from our foundational training from the very beginning, and then it's through observations and coaching and feedback, we are always helping our cast members develop to the best possible way of providing service. So we're always out there observing, coaching, making sure that they're improving upon their skills. Yeah, so really is no silver bullet 8-hour class that they go to every 6 months. It's day in, day out. And that's, again, a big piece where our leadership is always out there watching our cast and supporting them.
But do they sit with, just let's say, like their supervisor directly once a month and they evaluate values and performance eval or whatever?
We do have very structured formal meetings, and we also have informal. So we do have meet and greets, and we do have every 6 months, for example, once you're onboarded. Your first 6 months, though, a little bit more in detail, every 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, you'll meet with somebody. But then once you've been here 6 months, every 6 months you meet with someone, and it's with your leader, specific leader, your home room manager, and that person meets with you and provides feedback. But there may be informal sessions, too, throughout those periods where leadership will pull you in and give you feedback, reward, and recognition, or maybe coach you on opportunities. So a little bit of both. Yes?
Do you have team meetings every morning?
We do. It's actually a big piece of how we communicate to our cast members. So we do two different levels. We do what we call Mickey's roll calls. So we'll get out there, broader organization, broader areas. For example, this hotel has one in a backstage area every morning. And so we'll cascade to the teams and to the leadership, what's happening, what's new, the things planned for today. And then those folks will go out to their work teams areas. Could be a home team, could be their morning shift or afternoon shift. Housekeeping, for example, here meets. And they'll go over details and particulars for that day. And then we'll cascade through training other methods through home teams and different groups, cascade information down to people too. So lots of ways that we communicate and remind folks, again, think globally and act locally. A couple cast members here, great way to kind of look at this from a different perspective. Two cast members that you see here walking away from the Hollywood Tower Hotel. The cast member on the right is doing what? What's Carrie doing? Yeah, kind of scouring. Looks a little creepy. Is she in the right? I mean, is she doing her role correctly? Yeah, so she's thinking globally. She knows she works here, but she's acting locally. She works at the Hollywood Tower Hotel. She's in her land, and with her costume and her theme, her role is to be kind of ominous, kind of that creepy, scary bellman look, because you know, a terrible thing happened here back years ago to the hotel. And so, yeah, you know, she's going to look that way. Now, how about Ashley over here, the tour guide from Guest Relations, taking a tour group through? What is she exhibiting?
Happiness and exciting. And
yeah, absolutely. So she knows her role as well, her role in the show too. So think Act Locally isn't just a reminder of what we do in our jobs, but even prescribes to our behaviors. So for example, this morning when we went on Storm Over California, you had cast members that were there who were saying, have a great flight, folks. You know, good luck, aviators, have fun. You know, whatever that the terminology may be, there's something we call performance theming. I'll give you a better example of that a little bit later. Bruce and I will. But your areas may scribe to a specific behavior that would support that area. So again, you act locally, but you think big picture globally. Actions impact the big picture. Tactic 4, treat the cast as guests. You may saw that earlier, internal backstage as well. And so we have a list here, which is very interesting. This is what we found out through guestology of what our guests expect.
Last night when that young man let us go into the World of Color, I was standing kind of at the top of the stairs, kind of in the middle area, and I noticed that the cast members were asking each other, how's your day going? How are you doing? I haven't seen you for a while. I was really impressed.
Yeah, they definitely care. Lots of care.
I was very impressed.
And look at it from this perspective too, because you're on the same page, that our guests expect, make me feel special, treat me as an individual, respect my children, and be knowledgeable. Well, we then went and asked the cast members, you know, what are your expectations? And look what they said. Look how much it matches what the guests said.
Oh, wow.
You know, respect my children, respect me. You know, so having folks, talking to their cast members, having that care piece, but folks asking, how's your day, how are you doing, how's your dad doing, and whatever it might be, yeah, cast want to feel the same way that our guests feel. The studies show it. So, you know, do we do it? Do we act upon it every single day? Do you? So, kind of recap here from the cast standpoint, using guestology, we know and understand our cast members. So we find out who our cast members are. We know the compass in our cast members. What does it look like? What are their needs, what certain types of emotions? So how can we respond to each one of those on an individual basis? And then we measure cast satisfaction. And we always ask the question, why? You know, why is it like this? Why is it something you want to see change? How can we do it better? And then, of course, we take action. And we take action, we actually will tell the cast members, hey, you told us to do this. You know, you told us to make improvements on this process, and this is why we're doing it today. So that kind of sums up our cast piece. Any questions about cast? Let's dive into our next.
As the cast members, you know, the age of the cast members get older and older, what types of things do you do, or do you do anything for those who have been here a long time, who are getting older, who may or may not be able to do the job they did when they first got here? So, like, I noticed there's a lot of people that a lot of the cast members are standing around. What's the length of the shift, and how often do they get breaks, and that type of thing?
So it all varies based on role, and it goes and based on contract too. So we can get more into the weeds on that. We can get offline about that topic as well. But bottom line, we do partner with every cast member with the local area leaders. And so if there's specific needs for an individual, we will work with them to assist them with that. We also partner with casting if necessary.
Just in respect to the evaluation piece on the cast members, when you do this, I can see when looking at the Disneyland, Disney World, and Disney Hong Kong, definitions there. I can see how you could evaluate, seek out a guest contact or make eye contact. But I haven't had a little bit of time figuring how you evaluate to preserve the magical experience.
So basically looking for cast members, if they get asked certain questions, it's even their behaviors too. If their garments are not correct when they walk on stage, you know, if they're half dressed coming to work too, or when they actually walk into the onstage environment, that's not valuing the magic. I mean, behaviors are supporting it, and actions too. We're watching to make sure the guests have a seamless experience, basically. So we'll see to make sure that the show is never broken. A lot of that is around Disney look, and a lot of it is through how they act, that performance theming aspect, which we'll show you an example of.
Has there been a need to actually specify what those behaviors are? behaviors are, or these people in general?
We do to a certain extent. We stop short a little bit so the customers can interpret it and adjust it as need be and make it individual to themselves.
What's the question?
In terms of dogging the magic and how customers exhibit that, so their Disney look is very well scribed, but how a customer, for example, you're on Soarin' today, how a customer engages the guests and talks to them about, you know, welcome aboard and what lingo they use and stuff, they have some flexibility there. Okay, so the next delivery system we're going to take a look at is the setting, which is the place. And as we define it, the setting is the physical elements and customer experiences. We'll go back to that. Customer experiences when interacting with an organization. So this can also include, though, you know, when someone calls you up, what it's like to pick up the phone and call your organization and be put on hold, what I hear on the phone. It could be your online experience, but it's those elements that I'm going to come in contact with when I come to see you and seek you out for services or for products. And so a setting can say a lot, can really speak. A setting can send a message about what you value. What you value as an individual, and what you value as a company. It can also suggest specific performance theming, as already mentioned. So if I'm in front of the Hollywood Tower Hotel, I'm going to be a little more ominous. Or the Haunted Mansion, two locations where we don't expect our customers to smile. So it sends a specific message, and then it impacts the compass as well. So a setting can play into those four compass aspects. So let's look at some examples here for our settings, some tactics. First off, is saying the right message. So we always want to make sure that, you know, we're communicating the right message to our guests, to our cast, in the environment, in the physical environment. So what are we saying without saying it? The setting can speak a lot. You know, I went into a doctor's office one time and in the corner was a dead plant. That's in the right message. You know, what are you saying without saying it? Okay, guide the guest experience. Okay, so guiding folks through the process, the flow, the environment can help support that. And then employ visual and non-visual details. So again, elements. In our parks and resorts, for example, there's scents, right? It's non-visual. You may pick up, how many of you smell churros today when we went out in the park? Or popcorn or other scents? We actually, out on the Main Street USA, we will even pump out at times the scent of vanilla here at Disneyland. Very neutral scent, kind of feels very kind of, you know, very neutral. So you might think of waffle cones, you might think of ice cream, just kind of varies for the individual. And then we also separate on stage from backstage. So let's get a little bit further into these. First of all, saying the right message. Again, think of that dead plant in the room. You know, not the right message to send. A great quote from Walt Disney, pardon me, John Hinch, the Disney theme show is a fragile thing. It takes just one contradiction to negate an entire experience. Talking about that earlier, all it takes is one element, one piece, and negates the entire overall show. So some examples for setting would include your environment, the objects within that environment. Think about going into a restaurant. Imagine opening up the menu, and the server says, what do you have? Yeah, I'll have whatever that is in the menu. You know, so are there clean objects in the environment? Does everything speak to it correctly? The setting, everything's sending information about what's important to your organization. So again, dead plants. Overflowing ashtrays, you know, that's a frustration. You have different scents out there, dirty menus. Yeah, that's always a bad one too to see. Even dirty silverware, ancient magazines. Yeah, I went into a body shop recently. I had a little bit of work on the corner of my car. And I went in and the Sports Illustrated was really cool from 20 years ago. Interesting facts and details and stuff. What am I learning about more current today, up-to-date sports and details? So, you know, you go to the doctor's office or dentist's office, and that Highlights magazine, that puzzle's been solved like 25 times. Come on, pitch in for some new magazines. It's so easy to do it. It's so easy to upgrade that stuff, but a lot of times you just forget about it. You know, even our desks at work amongst coworkers, we can speak what we value. How many of you have been in an office setting, for example, maybe someone eats lunch at their desk all the time? I had a coworker one time who ate lunch at their desk, and then a lot of times would throw it in the trash can, and we only had trash service like once a week. Oh. So I ended up being the trash service for that individual and supported them too, and they didn't know it. But, you know, that can speak to what they value, what was really important to them. You know, scents play into that as well, the non-visuals I just mentioned too. So all those little elements. Inadequate parking. Yeah. How frustrating is that? I used to go to a dry cleaner here in Anaheim down the street, and this dry cleaner, narrow parking lot in the front, kind of angled stalls, and the front door is kind of off the side. And I was going there for a while, then ownership changed. And after it changed, I pulled in the parking lot, and the very first four cars were always the same cars. Closest to the door, every single time. Whose cars were they?
The employees.
Yeah, it was actually the owners and the business manager's cars. They're parking closest to the door, and I'm having to park five or six stalls back. What are they really telling me? Am I valued? No. So again, you're communicating without having to say anything or put it in words. You're telling what's important just in your setting environment. The second tactic for the setting is guiding the guest experience. So some great images here you can see. We have transition areas here at Disney. So as you move from one theme land to the next, it's subtle transition. It's not in your face. You don't hear conflicting music in different tones. Instead, you have colors and trees and canvas changes. You see a transition from Main Street, USA, until you head over towards the Matterhorn over in Fantasyland. You walk by the statue of Walt and Mickey, the partner statue, into the hub, the centralized hub area. And it's a soft, gentle transition from one land, one themed area to the next. It's not forced, it's not very rigid. It can be very subtle in planning the experience. Centralized hub, you can see an aerial shot here. And this is actually the Magic Kingdom at Walt Disney World. And you can see even the layout that we have it set up so there's transitions to all the different lands and supports it. But again, going back to our physical environment, look at all the different bridges. Which bridge is the biggest here? The biggest one's here coming in, and then we branch off the different lands. The one right here to Tomorrowland is the next biggest one. That's because most of us go which way?
Right.
To the right, exactly. So even the layout and how guests are flowing, it also supports that. So this setting environment is very supportive of the guests going from one land to the next as they flow in. You saw this earlier this morning, California Adventure looking off the Paradise Pier. Again, visual magnets. So what's pulling you in and drawing you in? What's the first thing I see at your facility? If you have a shop or a storefront, what's the first thing I see when I pull in? What makes me want to be drawn in to walk into your place of business? What are the visual cues that you're deploying that kind of draw the individual there? And then tactic three, employ sensory details. A great image here that we have of our signage at Walt Disney World. This is our vehicular signage around property. When the park first opened, we had some really nice signs that were very national park themed in the sense that they were had a lot of brown and beige tones. And they're all over the property, and a lot of guests just never saw them. And they keep driving and go, oh, yeah, they blended in too well with the environment. So we did a balloon test one time. We did a bunch of balloons and put on Main Street, a bunch of different colors, up and down Main Street. And as guests were leaving the park that day, we surveyed them and we said, what colors, did you happen to see any balloons on the way out? And what colors were they? And what colors did the guests typically see? You're looking at them right now. So then we went out and redid all of our signage, all of our wayfinding signage for our guests. So they knew where to go and could see it and stood out even that much more. So sight is really big. Sound is huge too, but doing sound the right way. A lot of people, a lot of businesses I've been to, they'll tuck away speakers. You can have speakers in the room here, but they're not in your face. Huge, massive, bulky speakers. They're not even branded on them. In this case here in the image, you can see speakers actually tucked away. They're hidden. There's a speaker up there in the window. There's a speaker down here in the bottom of the sign. There's a speaker right here in this piece of art. There's speakers hidden everywhere. Again, subtle. Subtle, but it plays in the environment, hearing sounds, hearing tones in the background. Taste, of course, we have really good food here. That goes without saying, so that can play in your sense. And then touch. So the tactile experience, being able to not only get soaked, as you can see, or even tie knots, but be able to have hands-on experiences in our parks and in our locations. And then there's smells. Now, of course, there's good smells, right? Pizza Port, as you see here, they have really good food. And maybe it's not so good smells. But smells can really start someone's day. How many of you have been in an office somewhere and someone burns popcorn? That smell just gets under your skin. You're just like, well, why? Why couldn't you read the back? You know, told you how long to microwave it. Smells can trigger something in our minds. I had a gentleman one time who said he worked for a casino. And they would pump out lavender scent whenever they saw on the security cameras that things were getting hostile. Of course, I'm like, well, your casino gets hostile? But anyway, but lavender was their scent, their smell, to soften the mood, and people would kind of calm down a little bit and relax. So smells can really play into our emotional state through our compass. And then tactic four, separating onstage from backstage. you know, Walt Disney said, I don't want the public to see the real world they live in while they're in the park. I want them to feel they're in another world. So where do your employees take their lunch break?
First floor.
Yeah. Okay, first floor. Same area where the public can go and guess.
I mean, your employees are
employees. Your employees. Where do your employees take their meal breaks, or do they have maybe, if they smoke, a cigarette break, or is it anywhere where the public eye can see it?
No.
Some say yes, some say no. Okay. I think, for example, we work with a lot of hospitals and healthcare, and work with them in the sense that, okay, where would a doctor, maybe after he has surgery and doesn't want to leave, where would a doctor go to grab a bite to eat or to chat with colleagues, possibly? Cafeteria, maybe. Okay, where would the family of patients be sitting down to have something to eat, just to take a break and step away? Cafeteria. Do you think you want those two conversations to be mingling? Do you think, you know, family really wants to hear what a doctor's saying next to them, what they're sharing, you know, best practices and notes? Probably not. And I went to my dentist's office one time, they were having a potluck in the room where they also developed the film and stuff, because I think so. And it was not a clean-looking environment. I'm thinking, here you come, I'm coming to have you clean my teeth, and I want things to be sterile and hygienic, and you can't even have a clean potluck. I mean, I'm seeing what's going on in there. And so that really spoke to me, and I think this isn't the place to go. So, you know, it really can say a lot in terms of where your employees take their breaks and their lunches. At Disney, you never see that. You never hear about personal conversations, about someone's date last night. You don't hear about any of those details. We totally separate onstage from backstage. We don't want you to know. Here's a great picture of one of our commissaries. This is actually called the Eat Ticket. Kind of nice play on words, the Eat Ticket. This is located behind Toontown Disneyland Park. Now, this picture I want to showcase the fact that not all of our commissaries look as Disney-themed as this. This happens to be the one where all of our administration folks that sit behind the park, kind of finance and executive leadership and so on, and marketing, they have their breaks and lunches here in this location, so it's very Disney-themed. Because they're not out in the parks and the resorts constantly having guest interaction and face-to-face. It's a good reminder that they work at Disney and what their role is. Other break rooms may be a little bit more subdued and more basic decor. Still very nice, but it kind of paints a little bit different picture. But a separate location, so you don't see cast. You'll never see folks out in the parks eating on stage with name tags on, in costume in the areas. Again, we totally separate those functions out completely. So page 31 of your books, if you please turn there. Now it's time to look at all these delivery systems and bring it to life for yourself. So what I want you on page 31, you're really going to focus upon your setting. And you can also think about your cast aspect too, but we're going to focus on the setting piece here. And I really want you to think about first, number one, consider the messages your organization is sending today. You know, what would you like to send that's not currently being delivered? So what do you want to communicate, maybe what you value, what's important to you through your setting environment? And what are you saying today to people when they come in? And then how are you guiding the guest experience on question two? What does that look like? You know, we guide here at Disney. When you arrive in here, when you pull off the 5 freeway, we are putting you in your car between the two white hash marks where we want you to park. You may not realize it, but through working with Caltrans and the city of Anaheim and various folks, different organizations, individuals, we, through wayfinding messaging signs, through cones, through cast members, we are directing you to where we want you to park. We are guiding your guest experience with second you pull off. So we'll think about your guest experience. In your mind, close your eyes if you need to, and think about when a person first pulls in the parking lot, they first arrive, where are your trash cans at? You know, other trash cans? Where are the ashtrays? If you were to go back to your locations today, right now, what would it look like? Do kind of a virtual tour in your mind. And those are opportunities you have to improve your setting experience and how you're guiding the guest experience as they come in. So as you can see on number two, you can also write down what would you add or change to modify that experience. Now the next page, question three, is about sensory elements. What do you currently deploy today? And maybe what enhancements could you make to that? And then number four, if you were giving a backstage tour of your location, would you be proud of it? And a great question, what would you change? So I'll give you a few moments to work through questions one through four, and then we'll move on.